Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, turning to our friends across the water, the NHS must reform or die, according to the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, following this major government report into the state of the health service in England. It reveals a health service in critical condition, from record waiting times to delays in A&E and cancer care, and a significant deterioration in the nation's health over the past 15 years. Keir Starmer today has been outlining his 10-year plan to overhaul what he described as the crumbling health service. George Parker is with us, political editor with the Financial Times. Good morning, George.
Morning.
The author of this report is a man called Lord Darzi, and I was struck by him saying that despite the fact that he's worked in the NHS for 30 years, even he's shocked by what he found in the investigation. I mean, this line where he talks about mental health patients housed in Victorian-era cells infested with vermin. I mean, I don't think there'll be any surprise that the NHS is under strain, but that's surely shocking, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's 163 pages long, Lord Darzi's report, and it does make shocking reading. As you say, you know, the mental health, the total demoralisation of the NHS staff that he discovered, high levels of sickness, total lack of investment in new equipment. I mean, it's a damning indictment, really, of the state of the National Health Service. We have to say, of course, that he's a former Labour minister, and he has prepared a report for the new Labour government, which is intended to point the finger of blame for this squarely at the last Tory administration. But nevertheless, what he says will strike a chord with many of the tens of millions of people who've actually experienced the NHS over the last few years.
So is it being treated then as a political report?
I think even the Conservatives are accepting that, you know, you can't deny that the NHS is in an awful state. And the last government was engaged in trying to patch things up. But in the end, you know, we are in a situation where over 7.5 million people are on hospital waiting lists. New hospitals that were promised weren't built. It's been a massive lack of investment in technology. Patient experience of the NHS is absolutely awful. And I think even the Conservative Party aren't trying to claim this as partisan, but nevertheless, it's part of a wider operation by this government to say things are really terrible. We're at ground zero and we're going to need at least 10 years to clear up the mess.
Mm-hmm. And the blame for this lies not with what happened during the pandemic. It goes back much further. It goes back, some say, to 2012, when there was an attempt to reform the NHS, which it seems now went badly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there were three things that Lord Darzi pointed out that sort of contributed to this mess. One was COVID, as you mentioned. The second thing was austerity, of course, which all countries experienced, but was particularly acute under the coalition government from 2010. And on top of which, there was a reform of the National Health Service overseen by a former Tory Health Secretary, Andrew Lansley, which he says totally messed up the management arrangements of the health service. It was one of those policies, I recall it well, where Andrew Lansley sort of suggested it was a fairly minor tinkering with the management structures of the NHS. And rather late in the day, David Cameron and his ministers realised, I think as someone memorably said, these were reforms that you could see from space. And at the last minute, there was a bit of correction. But nevertheless, I think that's left a lasting sort of scarring to the NHS. Mm-hmm.
Keir Starmer, you know, you mentioned there that he said it's going to take 10 years to sort this out. And he has said in the BBC interview over the weekend that he is prepared to do the hard things that take a long period of time to do. And that means there will be pain in the short term. Will the electorate wear that, though?
I think the people are very patient, impatient for change. And I think, you know, you can get away with blaming the last lot for a certain amount of time. I would suggest probably 6 months to a year that strategy works. But after that, you start to own the problems yourself, and the public's patience isn't infinite. I mean, he's talking here about a 10-year plan to fix the NHS. I think lots of people realise that this can't be done overnight. But nevertheless, the public will expect to see waiting lists come down, and they'll be expecting to get a much better service from the NHS. And the language you hear Keir Starmer using, you know, and Wes Streeting, the health secretary, is really instructive, I think. And I think one of the things that Starmer said that's most important this morning is there will be no more money without reform. That's a clear message to the NHS that the old days of just chucking a bit more money at it and hoping that solves the problem is over. This has got to be proper root and branch reform. And anyone who's experienced the NHS will tell you it's not just about money. It's about people not doing their jobs properly, a bureaucratic nightmare. And Wes Streeting has said that the NHS is a service, not a shrine. I think for a long time, the NHS has sort of avoided the kind of scrutiny most any private sector organisation would have experienced if it was offering such a poor level of customer service, in inverted commas, because of the fact that, you know, the NHS is this national religion in the UK, as you know, and the people regard the people who work there as angels or, you know, whatever it might be. The bottom line of it is that many people have experienced absolutely appalling treatment at the hands of the NHS.
Yeah, when it comes to the cost of reform, and I know you said it's not all about money, but if the Labour Party can't afford, if the Labour Party government can't afford to give everyone who was getting the fuel allowance, afford to pay that into the future, saving whatever it was, £1.5 billion, how can they afford to reform the NHS?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's a very difficult thing. I mean, you can do reforms without money, that's for sure. And I think that's one of their starting points. But the painful decisions of the kind you've just been describing there about removing people's winter fuel payments are part of what's going to be a very difficult budget in the UK on October the 30th. That'll be the first Rachel Reeves budget, where they are going to be announcing tax rises. They're going to be announcing more savings. And I think one of the things they'll be doing is spending more on capital equipment. One of the things that Keir Starmer is very attached to, and Wes Streeting for that matter, is investing in capital equipment in the NHS, particularly AI and new technology to speed up treatment and screening and so forth. So I think we'll see more money being spent on machinery and equipment in hospitals, but a lot less than just chucking more nurses or doctors into the system. Someone was on the radio this morning making a sort of quite an evocative suggestion that just chucking more people into the system that isn't working is a bit like putting more people onto the front line of the Battle of the Somme. You need to actually fix the system before you actually start investing in more people.
George, thank you so much for taking our call. That's George Parker there from the Financial Times.